Turn with me to the book of 2 Kings in chapter number 20. I have a few portions of scripture that I want to read, and I'm going to be reading, kind of jumping a few scriptures here, but the Lord has been dealing with my heart for the last few weeks and maybe month about this subject right here, and I hope that it will be a help to you as it has been a help to me. In 2 Kings chapter number 20, I'm going to read verse number 1, and then I'm going to skip down a few verses and read verse 5 and 6, and I'm going to skip down again and read verses 17 through 19, and then I'm going to chapter 2 and read verse 1 and 2 there. But if you would, stand with me, and I'm going to read the first verse and have a word of prayer and let you be seated, and I'll read the other so that we can continue on. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter number 20, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Let's pray. Father, we are thankful and grateful for this meeting today, and it's been a while since we have had the privilege to be in the preacher's fellowship, and it's been a blessing to my heart, and I appreciate your men that have already preached. I thank God for the messages and an encouragement that it has been to my heart. And I pray, Father, for Brother Ron as he preaches this evening. Lord, I'm just in the middle here. I pray that you'd use this nobody to help somebody today. I pray your will be done in my heart, and help me, Lord, to honor you. And when all is said and done, we'll give you praise and thanksgiving for it. For it's in Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Now, I'd like to have you go down with me to verse number 5 and verse number 6. Of course, I'm leaving some stuff out here, but you'll see in just a moment why I've done this. The Bible says in verse number 5, "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day. Thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake." Now skip with me down to verse number 17, and we'll read 17, 18, and 19. The Bible says, "Behold, the days come." Now, you know the story here. You know all that has transpired. Borodach Baladan has sent his servants from Babylon, and he has accepted them here, and he's taken them through all of his house, showed them everything. And Isaiah says in verse number 17, "Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried unto Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Verse number 19 says, "Then Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days?" Before I read verse 1 and 2 of chapter 21, my title for the message today is "A Good King, But a Bad Father." Look at verse number 1 and 2, and I want you to notice Manasseh was 12 years old. How many years did God add to Manasseh's life? 15. That means that after Manasseh had gotten healed and God had healed him and God had given him extra days, Manasseh's born after that. Knowing that he had such short time, what's he doing? Because Manasseh's 12. Let's go on and read it. "Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. Verse number 2. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Now we know the story of Manasseh. We know that through most of his reign he was wicked and evil and caused all of these problems in Judah, but was brought down at the end of his reign and honestly repented and turned out to be at the end an okay king. But if you read on in this book and you read in 2 Chronicles, you find out that it was Manasseh's fault that God brought judgment on Judah. What Manasseh had done caused Judah to come under the wrath of God, and there was no changing it. No changing it. One of the greatest kings in Israel was after Manasseh, Josiah. And even Josiah couldn't change the fact that God was going to destroy and was going to bring judgment on Judah for their sins. It is a sad fact that if you read the life of Hezekiah and you study the life of Hezekiah, Hezekiah was a good king. I mean, Hezekiah, for all intents and purposes, the only thing you find about Hezekiah in chapter number 20 at the beginning, and this is the only negative, it says, you're going to die, set your house in order. I believe it's very important here what God says to Hezekiah. But have you ever noticed that when God would warn kings or warn his people about something, it was always forewarning them, not after the fact. When Solomon came king, God appeared to him twice. He appeared to him at Gibeon, and he had the dream, and Solomon asked for wisdom, and God gave him not only wisdom, but riches and honor and all the other things that went along with it. And then he appeared to him again after he prayed the prayer, and he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins and heal their land. And God, in that same chapter, warned Solomon that if he ever went after other gods, he was going to be in trouble. What did Solomon do? He went after other gods. Every time in Israel, in Judah, when God would warn his people, it was before the fact. If you ever do this, this is what I'm going to do. Nothing ever happens by surprise. God always warns us ahead of time. So here in verse number 1 of chapter 20, Isaiah comes to Hezekiah. Hezekiah is sick and he says, put your house in order, you're going to die. Well, that's a warning right there. And then God turns around and gives him 15 more years because he humbles himself and because he prays, and God turns it all around. For some reason, Hezekiah didn't get it. And a son that is born after the fact is now king in Israel, and he reigns for 55 years and is the reason that Judah is brought to judgment. I'm going to give you four things. I'm going to be quick because I know we're going to eat at five-ish. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to preach till five-ish, and then we'll go eat. First of all, we see the faithfulness of Hezekiah. In chapter 18 and verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, and these are good words. It says, now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did. Now, kings before him had done right, but the Lord always made sure we understood that they didn't do according to David. Hezekiah did right, and he did everything according as David had done, his father. And so he was faithful in all his house. And I can say this about the faithfulness of Hezekiah. It is appreciated. I can even applaud it and I can even admire it. But can I tell you that as we look at our day, and as the preachers have preached about how we need to be faithful in these days and how we need to stand on what we're supposed to stand on, how we're supposed to preach and all of this, we can be faithful and people applaud it, admire it, and appreciate it. But if we mess up with our home, Hezekiah was a good king, but he was a bad father. Say, well, I don't understand why he was a bad father. Well, he had all of this to do. He had to run the kingdom. He had to do all of these things. But let me just say this. God wants us to be impactful in our family. One of the things my dad told me when I just started preaching, and he said, son, I want you to understand something. He said, you need to be faithful to the Lord, but you need to make sure that your family is your first ministry. You know what we do as preachers? We get all caught up in the ministry part. We get all caught up in the work of the ministry. We're doing everything right. And we can even be doing it like Paul the Apostle, as Brother Andy preaching, and it just be right down the road. But if we're not mentoring our family, we're messing up. Secondly, we see the faith of Hezekiah. I mean, you look at what happens in chapter number 19, and I'll just read the first five verses here. The Bible says, and it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he said, Eliakim, now what did he heard? Well, he heard all of these words of Rabshakeh and Rabsaris and all these people that came from Assyria to say, you need to bow down to us. We're going to take you over. There's no God that can deliver you from our hand. And he sent Eliakim in verse number 2, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And that takes faith. When trouble came in other kings' kingdoms, they would send to somebody else and send the silver, the gold, and try to hire them to come and help them. But he sent his servants to the prophet. He sent his servants to the preacher. And he said, you pray for us. We're in trouble. We're in a strait here. This kingdom that's come against us is greater than we are. We need help. That shows faith, doesn't it? I mean, it shows that his faith is true. And then we see that his faith has been tried. I mean, several occasions down through here, Hezekiah goes and he lays his letter down that Rabshakeh sent, and he lays it down before the Lord, and it's like, Lord, you read this. And he says, Lord, we need help. And Hezekiah prays, and God answers his prayer. I mean, God is able to help Hezekiah. Hezekiah, he knows what's right. He knows what to do. And folks, listen, preachers, we know what to do. We know to take our troubles to the Lord. We know to carry our burdens and everything we have, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We know to do that, and we do that. That's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Judah is a very small remnant of people at this time, and the king of Assyria has a great multitude of people. There is no contest but God. But God. Listen, there's no contest in our day. I mean, we're just a small remnant of people. But we need to have faith and just trust God with it and keep on keeping on. Amen. They may put us in prison. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And I can trust him with it. I know that he's going to take care of us. But while we're doing all these things, let's not forget what our ministry is all about. Amen. His faith is tried, his faith is tested, and seems to me like he passes all the courses, doesn't he? And then, thirdly, we see the fruit of Hezekiah. I mean, what's his fruit? In chapter 19 and verses 6 and 7, we'll read these verses. The Bible says, "And Isaiah said unto them, Thus shall you say to your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land." We know that that happened. We know that took place. But you know what happened when they heard the rumor and they found out the rumor? They sent another letter to Hezekiah and said, "Don't you let Hezekiah fool you into thinking that your Lord is going to deliver you out of my hand." And that's when he takes the letter in and lays it out before the Lord and prays. And so you see prayers answered in chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. And also, let's look at verses 14 through 19. Here Hezekiah has taken the letter, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, "O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which have sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations of their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, wherefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save us out of his hand, that all the kings of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only." And then he says, "Okay, you're not going to have to fight. You just go out there and stand. I'm going to take care of it." And God destroyed them all. And old Sennacherib went back home and went into the house of his gods, and his own two sons killed him. Hezekiah's prayers were answered. Then again in chapter number 20, when we hear Isaiah say, "Hezekiah, put your house in order, you're going to die and not live." And Hezekiah turns his face toward the wall, and he cries and he weeps and he calls upon God. And God, before Isaiah got out of the middle court, he called him and said, "You go back to him and tell him I'm going to add 15 years to his life." That's the fruit. That's Hezekiah's fruit. God heard Hezekiah. Do you think God would have heard Hezekiah if he had said, "Lord, I want you to touch Manasseh, and I want you to help Manasseh be a good king. But I'm going to show you, you probably read it with me when I read it a while ago, a problem that Hezekiah had." Amen. I mean, he did have a problem. You better believe that. He had a problem. Now, he said, "Here's the problems, believe it. Proof is required." Acquired. He gives him the wonderful miracle of the sundial going backward 10 degrees instead of forward 10 degrees. He said, "It's an easy thing for God to do it forward, but I want it to go back." Do you realize that that's when God had to stop the earth and turn it backward for a little bit and then put it back to spinning again? God stopped it and turned it back and let it go again. Scientists got all concerned because they had lost 20 minutes in the, you know, somewhere in time, and they found it in the Bible right here in 2 Kings, when the sundial went back 10 degrees. What do you know? It's a scientific book too, huh? I mean, God answered Hezekiah. But I want to show you his failure. We read it in 2 Kings 21, verse 1 and 2. But I want to go back to number 20, chapter 20, and verse number 19. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, "Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken." Now, there's a period there. And it doesn't stop there, but I can imagine. Have you ever been, has anybody ever said something to you preachers that shocked you? I'm picturing in my mind here, Isaiah's just given him the bad news that his sons, those that are going to issue from him, are going to go into captivity. And Manasseh says, good. Can you imagine what Isaiah's doing about this time? He's probably got a look of astonishment on his face, a look of shock. And Hezekiah notices it, and he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? What a mess Hezekiah's in right here. I mean, he's glad that everything's going to be good, but what about the next one coming along? You know what the problem is in our day? We're too busy trying to build our little kingdom that we ain't worried about the next one coming along. Hezekiah's so busy doing his thing, he wasn't worried about being a father. You know what the biggest problem in our world today is? Homes with no fathers. You know what our society has done? They know, and the devil knows, that the family is the first thing God set up. And if he can get the man out of the family, what do we have nowadays? We got little sissy fellas walking around. Limp-wristed sissies. When I see a young man, I want him to walk like a young man. I don't want him to prance across the floor like a woman. I don't want him to, when I shake his hand, I want him to give me a handshake, not a fish handshake. Amen? I'm telling you, we got a problem. Masculinity is wrong in these days. We're trying to destroy masculinity. But God said the father was important. Say, where did he say that out? Well, we're going to go there. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4. Now, no, I want you to notice what this says here. It doesn't say anything about mothers, does it? It says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. For a long time, Brother Nichols, I looked at that and I thought, you know, that means that I'm not supposed to let my kids get angry. I don't want them to get angry. So that was something that wasn't allowed to happen in our home. I didn't let my boys get angry. I was up in their face about that. I didn't want nobody to get angry. But that's not what this scripture is teaching. What's the wrath he's talking about there? Would you say that Manasseh slipped up when Hezekiah slipped up when he didn't teach Manasseh that he need to live right and need to run the kingdom right, or he was going to be under the wrath of God? You say, well, he was his dad. He should have been watching him. His dad should have been involved in his life. Some of the best memories I have growing up is my dad being involved in my life. From the time I can remember, when dad would go somewhere to preach, I was his sidekick. I went with him. If he went into a revival somewhere, I was with him. You say, what'd you do about school? Who cares about school when you can be with dad? I learned more with dad than I did with any teacher my whole life. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with school, because I appreciate school. But what I'm trying to say is, he involved me in his life. I got to watch his life. Now, I watched a man that would preach in the pulpit, and then when the shoe leather hit the floors and started walking down the road, he walked what he said. He lived like he preached. I can say that because I watched him. Some of you folks that knew him and heard him preach, I'm telling you, he had the power of God on him, and he what he preached, he lived. He didn't preach a bunch of fluff. He preached the truth. He didn't try to entertain nobody. He just preached. It didn't matter to him if there was amens going on. He'd just preach. I get a little shook up when people go to getting quiet. I'm thinking, well, I messed up up here somewhere. But I'm learning not to worry about the amens. I'm learning just to keep on preaching. But the fact of the matter is, Manasseh did not see a father that was interested in him. He was interested in how well the kingdom was going. Now, the custom of this day was that when a son was born, kings would send their sons out to great men of the country or the kingdom, and they would raise them and train them. In other words, they were given a surrogate father to raise them and train them. I believe it didn't happen in David's day. It didn't happen in Solomon's day. But one of those kings after that started sending his sons out to do that. And it just kind of became a custom. And listen, friend, a boy or a girl needs their dad. As a preacher, my responsibility to my sons was I need to be there for them. I never forgot what my dad said. Make sure that your ministry, your first ministry, is your family. Say, well, did you leave everything else off? No, I did not. I simply put my family in a place where they could get close to what I was doing. I didn't push them away. I spent time with them. I prayed over them. I prayed with them. I instructed them. When they got out of line, I told them about it. And sometimes I had to show them physically about it. You know what I mean? We had our little business meeting. I done the moderating and they done the motioning. I moderated with a belt or a switch. Isn't it funny? Everything in the house is run by switches now except for the kids. You got a switch to turn the lights on. You got a switch to turn your fireplace on. But there's no switch for the kids. In fact, if you do that, you're in trouble. I drank a few cups of hickory tea in my time. I can't say I was ever happy about it, but I'm sure glad Dad loved me enough to correct me when I was wrong. Listen, our family is important. And if we want our families to continue on in what we're doing, we need to be faithful in the ministry of our families as well as the people of God. So if I can encourage any of you today, and I know a lot of us are, you know, our families are grown and they've got families now. I was blessed this past weekend to be with all of my family. All of my sons, my daughter, all of their families were in. And we got to spend a whole weekend together, almost. Some of them left on Sunday morning. Some of them left on Saturday evening. But I'm so thankful I was blessed to be with them. We had a good time. Good time of fellowship. And I gave all of my grandchildren this year, I gave them every one a Bible. I gave them a KJV Bible. I didn't give them one of them funny books. I gave every one of them a Bible. I had their name engraved on it. I wrote in it from Grandma, and they called me Pi. So I wrote in there Grandma and Pi, and then I put down the date and the year, and then in the comments I put, always serve the Lord. Some of my grandkids is not old enough to read, and I told the parents, I said, I'm giving them a Bible this year. I'm giving all of them a Bible. You put it up till they can handle it. But they're all going to get a Bible. Listen, I think the best thing we can do for our families is to be faithful and to be involved in their lives. We get busy, don't we? I suppose I'm busier now than I've ever been. The business of the ministry is all, but you know what you can do? You can get so busy in the ministry that you forget to take time with God. You can get so busy in the ministry that you can forget to take time with your family. Listen, friend, we've got to have that you and God time. We've got to have that fellowship. We've got to have that closeness. We've got to have that wonderful, sweet fellowship that we have in the place where we go to get alone, not with anybody else, but just with God. Somebody said one day, I can't understand how you can spend so much time in that office with nobody but just you. I said, there's not just me in there, there's God in there. And there's times that God gets so big in that room, I've got to get out and walk around the auditorium for a while to get some room to run. And it's good. We need God, don't we? But as much as we need God, our families need us. Pastor your church. Preach like your coattails on fire. Preach in the power of God. Get in your closet place with the Lord and get a message from heaven and preach it. But don't forget, you've got young ones. Myself, I've got grandchildren that need to see Papa doing it right and telling it right and instructing them right. My oldest grandson is now 13. Hard to believe. He's almost as tall as I am. And when I gave him that Bible, he came up with tears in his eyes. And he hugged me and he said, "Pi, that's the best gift I could ever get." I said, "Hallelujah." He understands already that the Word of God is important. And it's a blessing, my friend, to be a minister of the gospel. And as Brother Andy said, we're called for such a time as this. It is a necessity. We've got to preach. Brother Andy said, we just need to be faithful. I don't care what everybody else is doing. Just be faithful and preach. Tell it. My dad used to say, "Randall, if the stars fall from heaven, keep on living right." I didn't understand altogether what he meant until I saw some preachers fall. Some preachers that I had confidence in fall. And it became very clear. And I've said it to my kids. I don't care what happens to somebody else. You keep on living for God. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You just live for God. You be faithful to the Lord and he'll bless you for it. Amen. That's my message. I'm done.